The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. Can't forget about the good news.
Yeah.
Jobless claims hit a record low. Stock surged to a new high. I saw that headline.
Yeah, 26,656, I think, is where it closed.
You know what I did? I saw the headline.
Yeah.
And
did you look at your 401k?
Yes.
I didn't. I thought about it, though. I thought about it.
I said, I haven't looked at it in a couple of weeks. Let me just see, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Not sure if it was the deposits or over the last couple of weeks from payroll or whether I made just a little bit. But if I guess my point is, if I do it, other people do it. If I do it, other people, they see, they go, oh, I haven't checked in a couple of weeks. You know, what is it doing? And that's something with the midterm coming up that does. It may not be something that is outright. I mean, it doesn't bring in the emotion or the rage, but don't underestimate people's contentment and positivity when it comes towards their own personal finances getting better, or the hope of it getting better.
Right.
The hope of it, okay, I've got a chance. And I did bring that up for a reason, and I forgot what it was.
Huh. Well, the president campaigning in Las Vegas last night, basically on the idea that America is winning again. Looking at these positive numbers and promoting these positive numbers. And that's something we've talked about, that, you know, when you get the Kavanaugh thing behind us, and we will have that behind us in a week, you look at the declassification thing, which I predict will only help the administration and by default will help the Republicans in November. Whether it will mean a win or not, we're not going to make that prediction, but I think it will be favorable to the right. But beyond that, it is about the forward momentum, right, where you promote that. And we've been talking about that for a while now, the president getting out and do what you do at the campaign rallies. Do that on social media. Do that on Twitter. And he does. But the point is focus strictly on that between now and November. Once you get the Kavanaugh thing behind us and the declassification thing is going to be an ongoing story, but the truth will tell the story, I believe. And let, you know, promote things from your administration, things that we believe that only this president could get done, like lower taxes, especially the corporate tax rate being lowered so low. We give him full credit for that because the Republicans couldn't have gotten it done without him. We believe that fully. And so you know, if you're doing that, and he doesn't have to boast about it in that way, but the point is that no one else is going to give him that credit. Certainly the mainstream media is never going to give him that credit, so it's up to him to promote it.
Okay, now the elephant in the living room.
Yeah.
That is not going to affect the midterms.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, because the midterms, we're just another a month from now, we'll get more economic news, and the light tariffs light take effect this coming a week from today.
Right.
Yeah. The first 10% go into effect. But that is the elephant in the living room. If you have the amount of tariffs that he is putting on China right now, it's not going to affect you this year. It is going to affect you next year. Now, you do have a couple of years before you get, you know, to the general election. But the fact is, that's something that they're thinking of, that they've got to be thinking of. It's got to be in the back of their minds as to where that's headed. And I say that based on the fact that I have heard nothing over the last 2 weeks since we have been on vacation, even before, on Mexico or Canada. Have you noticed that? Nothing.
Right.
Heard nothing about the negotiations going on at all. Now, frankly, I look at that, and again, it's a complete gut feeling. I look at that as a positive.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's not ranting and raving.
Because he's not ranting. He's not issuing the challenges and everything else.
Yes.
But I think that is, and I honestly believe that the thing with, if you look at China, I think that's going to come to a head and be for the most part, resolved, maybe not officially or technically by the end of the year, but certainly I think for the most part, and generally speaking, that issue will be behind us as of January 1.
You know, one would hope you've got 10% on $200 billion worth of goods, which will affect the economy. But the fact is, if, you know, will he get to the point where he said if this doesn't work, 25% by the end of the year?
Right.
Well, that goes into the first half of next year of 2019. And that's the point when, because remember, with all the tariffs we put into effect, there have been Americans that have been hurt because of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, they haven't been put on a huge number of items or goods yet. That's what's starting next Friday.
Yeah.
So the beginning of the major tariffs are now hitting. And again, the president being quiet on Mexico and Canada over the last couple of weeks, I view as a positive. But the president coming out earlier this week and stating that China's paying these tariffs, which is good for the American economy, was a bizarre statement because China doesn't pay the tariffs. You do.
Yep.
And so he stated again that China's paying the tariffs. He, you know, and he knows that's not true because he has talked about he understand they didn't put tariff on a ton of Apple products because they know that's something that's price sensitive to so many Americans and they don't want it to hurt them. So they understand. The president understands that Americans pay tariffs. So I don't know why he comes out and makes that statement again this week.
Mm.
Just like, that's so dumb.
Yeah.
People aren't stupid. Look, President Trump, you represent Republicans. Don't treat them the same way that Democrats treat their constituents, which is the belief that they're idiots and they're stupid and you can say anything and they will buy it. They don't.
Right.
And they may permit it and say, oh, you're doing a lot of good over here, so I'll just let that bypass. But it sits in the back of their head.
Yeah, I think that's it. It really doesn't go away. You know, if you look at this, you know, talking about it earlier, if you look at this entire, pattern of behavior by the left since really the day after Election Day 2016, we have said that Trump's win was not the cause. Trump is not the cause.
No.
Of the insanity. He's the result.
He's the result, yeah. Obviously.
And now, if you look at 2016, as crazy as that election cycle was, it's mundane by today's standards. I say that because I was doing some research on some things of stories written in the final days of Obama as president, but really during the election cycle, many of those stories coming up in October, November of 2016. And the way that they were written, and it really is, there's a different tone. And now the tone is just all out crazy. I mean, it is just over the top, you know, floating these insane ideas all the time. And I said at first, it's like a bunch of children in a gymnasium, about 1,000 children screaming all at once. Well, now it's not just screaming. They're running around all in random directions. And it's just with their arms flailing. And you know what? That has the potential of working for this administration over and over and over. I don't know that it's going to work for the Republicans in the House, especially in November. We don't make predictions. But I do believe it has the potential to work in that direction. And we'll find out in November, and then we'll find out again in 2020 if this behavior continues, which, of course, it will.
Let's go to Alex in San Antonio. Alex, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Hi, Alex.
Hey, guys. Eric and Gary.
Hey.
First off, I haven't called since Joe was on the show, mm-hmm. and there was a gal who, I think her name was Pam or Pat, she did a paper route, and she packed her family up on a sailboat mm-hmm. and sailed around the world. Did she ever make it back?
I actually She did, but it's been years. Her name was Penny, but I don't know where
Penny,
she is now. It's, yeah, it's been over 13 years.
Yeah.
I can't remember what I had for a snack, and I'm still eating it. So, yeah.
Anyways, you guys are one of the few that have actually touched, you know, even on the edge of this. I don't really think this is, you know, everybody says, well, this is about the Roe versus Wade and the Second Amendment. And, of course, you know, they say, well, we're going to put the blacks back in chains and all that stuff. Actually, I really don't think it has anything to do with that at all. I think if they get him in, if they get Kavanaugh in, and by rote, maybe get somebody in for Ginsburg and even Breyer by the time he's out of office, that'll end the Democrats' ability to legislate through the bench.
Oh, yeah, we've stated that. We've stated that, I don't know, hundreds of times over the last couple of years.
Yeah. I haven't had the ability to listen to you guys a whole lot here lately, and you guys took vacation last week. And that's the first time I've been able to listen to you.
Sorry.
Well, no, I mean, it's we had mentioned earlier this week that one of the examples was you have a federal court system, which, by the way, he's making a lot of appointments, but you have had a lot of appointments over the, you know, during the Obama administration that now serve. Remember that the travel ban, when you look at the federal justices that went against Trump on the travel ban, as we said, those were decisions made out of spite. Now, they were all overturned, but they were made over spite. They just disagreed with this president. That's what you're overturning when you put in a Supreme Court justice who was more of an originalist constructionist judge. They're calling him a conservative judge, and that is, again, the wrong way to look at it. It's not to say liberal judge, because they are liberal. Well, it's about, are you a constructionist, and do you believe in the Constitution,
right,
and understand that if you believe it's a living, breathing document, that it's not up to the judges to make sure it's a living, breathing document. It's up to the constitutional amendment process. Mm. Yeah. But, again, we're dealing with people that don't understand, the majority of Americans that don't understand the three branches of government to begin with, so they have no idea what the roles are to begin with, so we're wasting our time even talking about this.
Yeah.
So the Cleveland Browns won last night.
Yeah, so that happened. We got that going. For us. Yeah.
But I always have to end that way when we talk about it, but... No, it's about overall. It's about the it is about the role of the federal government. It's about an expansive government. It's about an intrusive government. And the things like the Second Amendment that you mentioned, fit that. Now, will the fact that he is in office, if he is seated next week, will that immediately reverse Roe v. Wade? No. You would have to have the case. And even if Roe v. Wade was overturned, that would be Roe v. Wade overturned. It would not make abortion illegal in the United States. It would go to the states until that was challenged, which I believe someday it will be challenged, which is, how does the federal government define when life begins? Because that's really the debate of abortion. When does life begin?
Yeah.
And that's always been the weakness of Roe v. Wade. How do you decide that?
Well, and I honestly, you know, this, but that's the feared mongering by the left. That he's going to be seated, and then all of a sudden he's going to just announce to the people, like he would have the power without some kind of case. I mean, look, the majority of people can't name one Supreme Court justice.
Not one.
So if they can't name one, they really don't know how the process is in terms of cases getting to the highest court.
I wonder if Judge Judy, when people ask that, when pollsters ask that question, whether Judge Judy appears on there or whoever, any of the other judges.
Oh, is she's named as a, if they pick her named as one of
the. Yes, just because of pop culture.
Right, yeah.
I'm actually being serious.
No. I would say at least a few people probably named her, probably said, yeah, she's on it. Now, with millennials, what, it was Ginsburg that came up most often. It was, 25% roughly of the people could identify Ginsburg. But that's because she had been on social media. The whole thing of you know, when it came about is, what were people trying to do? Donate organs to Ginsburg to keep her alive until after Trump is no longer in office.
Right.
There's the insanity for you. And a lot of that was done tongue in cheek, but it is it is right now. It is a battle for the left. For those who do know what's going on, they do know what's at stake. Now, they're wrong about things, in my opinion, but they know.
And I do think that after Scalia's death, there was a panic inside many conservatives that do pay attention, and many Republicans that do pay attention to the Supreme Court.
Yep.
And they are much more focused on it because they see what could have been and the reality of now of what could be. And I do think that is a motivating factor, and it's an unknown motivating factor for the midterms here.
Yep.
Because sure, even if you, even I believe he will be seated, even if Kavanaugh is seated in the next week, I think that people do understand the potential that Trump could, in the next 2 years, there could be another Supreme Court justice vacancy. And then that would be another reason to unite around him for 2020.
Yeah, I think so.
866-90-RED-EYE.
It's crucial that you keep your truck and yourself cool. One way to maximize the performance of your AC system is by avoiding refrigerant leaks. The compressor is a pump that pressurizes and circulates the refrigerant in the air conditioning system. If your AC system has a refrigerant leak, the compressor will not receive the correct amount of refrigerant needed to function properly. To avoid these leaks and to stop them before they come worse, conduct a visual inspection of your AC lines and components. If you see dirt and oil accumulating near an AC line connector or anywhere else, you likely have a refrigerant leak near that location. Stop into a truck service location near you to have your AC system checked before the compressor starts to feel the summer heat.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. We go to Jeff in Michigan. Jeff, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. I think you've got a great point here.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, one of your previous callers, toward the end of the call, you guys had brought up about Cortez and Beto O'Rourke, by the way.
Yeah.
Feel sorry for you guys down there in Texas.
Well, it's
don't,
not.
The don't voting, feel sorry just right, yet.
The voting isn't over yet.
Yeah, yeah. Don't believe the hype.
Well, okay, sometime over the summer, the Democrats, I was listening to one of my favorite podcasters. Do I mention him on the show or not?
Sure, go ahead.
Dan Bongino.
Okay.
And I was listening to one of his podcasts over the summer, and he had said he's got some great news, that the Democrats had changed the way that they choose their presidential nominee.
Right.
Yeah, the superdelegates. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. They dropped the superdelegates, so now whoever gets the most votes is the nominee.
Right. Yeah. And your point is?
The way things are going, it's going to come up to one of these crazy Bernie Sanders types.
Yep.
And the American people are not going to vote in a socialist.
Yep. Yeah, well, not just yet, but great point, Jeff. Thanks.
So, there you go. Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Welcome and good morning. So happy to have you here. Other news out there, since we were talking about the last caller, trying to make the point that the Democrats going into 2020, since superdelegates won't help pick the candidate anymore, they may have a lame candidate, unlike the vivacious Hillary Clinton. You know, what will the what kind of changes will we be seeing? Well, maybe by January. Remember what I told you yesterday. We don't make normal predictions, but I did say yesterday that if, and I don't know what's going to happen in the election, because I don't know what we're talking about next week. The whole landscape can be different next week, depending on what comes out of if you have Kavanaugh seated. 6 days from now, let's say next Thursday, and then by the time we get to Friday, the declassification of the FISA warrant and all the texts, you know, back and forth. Is it really the bombshell that many Republicans are trying to create that imagery that it is a bombshell, which could change the landscape? We don't know. But the one thing we did say is if the Democrats do get the House, Nancy Pelosi will not be the speaker. There it is right there. New plan from some House Democrats aims to out Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
And I do think, because remember, what was it? And it won't be, what's his name? It won't be Tim Ryan from Ohio either.
No.
Because they're going much further left.
Yeah.
Is where they wish to go.
Make it Ocasio-Cortez, please. We're begging.
I think there'll probably be others that will want it who have served longer.
Oh, but why? Nobody deserves it more than she does.
Well, it's true. Look, we want to vote for a new Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
She's been here for a week.
Come on.
Ocasio-Cortez, she's been here for a week.
She's experienced.
She's got a week under her belt.
Got a whole week.
And so she's, look.
Ask her how many days are in a week.
She's young. She's clueless. She plays the same fantasy that you do. The money will just appear from the money tree.
Yeah.
What does it matter if she's a Democrat that's been here for 10 years promoting that or a Democrat for a week? She is the lead. Think about it, though. Who gets more FaceTime than her?
Right.
She gets more FaceTime than O'Rourke gets.
They've said she is the future. The future is now. Come on.
So I find that interesting. It says a later attempt, which senior leadership aides anticipate will be futile, once again exposes that a handful of House Democrats remains concerned about whether Pelosi is dragging down candidates locked in competitive races that the party needs to win in order to gain the control of the House. This group of anti-Pelosi Democrats is seeking to change the way the caucus elects its top leader. On Wednesdays, these members submitted a way to tweak the procedural rules governing the makeup of the caucus. So there you go. So they're trying. A group of 11 Democrats who signed the letter included the representative in the district next to my parents. That's where
I
saw it, yes.
Oh, wow.
Representative Brian Higgins of New York. He's been in there for a while, and so there's a whole letter there that they have signed, and they wish to change the way they want her out. And I had seen the article written on it. They want her out.
Right.
They
sure.
believe she drags down the party right now.
Yeah.
They don't want old, clueless.
They want young
leaders.
Clueless.
They want young, clueless leaders.
Yeah. People who can be clueless for the foreseeable future.
We need cluelessness with energy.
That's right.
I can't do this anymore. All right, let's go. I just can't do this anymore.
Yeah, it is getting taxing, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
All right, 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's head back to you. We go to Chris in Marshall, Michigan. Chris, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What's up?
Well, the one thing I've been wondering about, I mean, you guys have addressed it. I just want to know, I would love to see the president or anybody else call these people who, Adam Schiff, for example, or anybody that actually thinks the Mueller investigation is about getting to the truth, how they can justify declassification, which reveals the truth, interfering with the Mueller investigation, if the point of the Mueller investigation is to get to the truth.
Yeah, right.
Well, the logic is just not there.
Well, first off, the Mueller investigation, the first big lie that they've been telling is that this interferes with the Mueller investigation. It doesn't. The Mueller investigation is an executive branch investigation of the Department of Justice. The House Intelligence Committee is a completely separate investigation being done by another branch of government, not focusing in on Donald Trump, but focusing in on wrongdoing that they believe is coming from the FBI and the Department of Justice and maybe the intelligence agencies. They're not looking at Trump. Mueller's looking at Trump. Two simultaneous investigations going on from two separate branches of government. It's not interfering with the Mueller investigation to begin with. That is a lie, but you do make a great point. If they're looking for the truth, what gets you to the truth more than transparency? And if Adam Schiff wants it, as we said earlier this week and the day after the Wall Street Journal followed us, they said if Devin Nunes wants more transparency and wants more declassified information, or excuse me, classified information declassified, we stand behind him.
Right.
Yep. So
I would just love to see the president literally talk to Adam Schiff and go, you know, just play out, tell him, hey, if you want the truth, this is getting you the truth. Why are you upset?
Yep, right.
Call him out on it.
Well, call him out, because Devin Nunes said he's just releasing selective things that are favorable to him. And we said immediately, and the president hasn't done this, but we said immediately the response from the White House should be, what else does he want declassified? We'll consider that, too. We'll meet with him. We'd rather, if he believes there's something that's being hidden, let's go after it. Because call him out on it, because he won't respond.
Right. Yeah, there's no way.
He won't respond.
There's no response here.
Challenge him on it. All right, what else do you want? Go ahead.
On a side note, I think Trump needs to have you guys come up and be political advisors. It would help him out a lot. Just letting you know.
Well, we've been offering it for years.
Yeah.
But Eric overpriced himself.
Not now. The president's really rich.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not asking for a lot. Yeah.
$1 million.
We started offering one in 2012.
Yeah.
In 2012, we started offering our services.
Now I went as high as a trillion, but since demand has apparently dropped somewhat for my services, I'm willing to go down to a billion. Look, he's a billionaire.
Believe me, in 2012, we started at a million each. We have gone up in price for it. But.
Well, look, I believe that the president is capable of making those decisions. There's been some frantic behavior. I think, honestly, my theory is that the president listens to too many people before considering everything, he will often issue an idea, a proposal, a response. And I think he needs to know those advisors are there to advise, but not to necessarily change his mind every time. Not that they shouldn't sometimes. He should take everything into consideration, be thoughtful about it, and then make the well-informed decision. And I think on most things, in terms of his actions, he has done that. It's really about communications, and that's very fixable, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree.
Thanks, Chris.
Maybe Eric could be an advisor. I couldn't be, because I believe our personalities would clash. Not me and you, but the president. I just think that we, especially on, because it would be economics, and I would be. I think the rest of the stuff is, I'm not going to, he's got Bolton in there, and he's got Pompeo in there for for that kind. And I think they're doing fine on that. And I think most economic things are doing.
He's got a great.
They're doing fine.
I think for the most part, he has a great administration.
My only thing really would be tariffs, and to improve the communications department. But he's got Kudlow there for tariffs. They don't need me.
Well, and I think Sarah Huckabee Sanders does a great job.
Well, no. I mean on him communicating.
Controlling his communications. Yes. Well, and that gets back to the, can anyone do that but him?
No, I don't. That's why I believe it would be futile.
Right.
I would be a hindrance. I would not. I don't think that I would benefit the administration,
right?
Just because you can look at a scenario and go, no, that scenario is not for me. But Eric would take the money and run.
I would take the money and stay. I'm not running. No, honestly.
Aren't they making like what, 170, 180,000 is what they make
for the advisors?
Yeah,
on the staff.
Yeah,
I'm probably in that range. I'm guessing. Yeah. Yeah,
because isn't that what?
The book deal, right?
What was her name? I can't think of what the
her who,
the one who just wrote this, all the stuff on Trump, Omarosa.
Hmm.
She was making 170.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, I was gonna say the reality TV star. What was she making? It's like, why did she come to? She probably could make money more in Hollywood. But I think 170,000. But you do have access to the White House if you want to have your wedding there.
And use the car as much as you want.
And
apparently.
Use the car, you get free car privileges. But seriously, if it's 170,000, how far does that go in D.C.?
You're going to have to get a roommate. I'll tell you
I've had family that lived there, and
it's not cheap.
Then you and I are going to have to room together.
Well, okay, I'm out. So much for that idea. Yeah, no, I honestly believe that what it comes down to it, the nature of the president from, well, his past experience, non-public servant experience, is that when someone issues a response, you respond. That's negotiation in his mind, and likely how he's negotiated all his life. You know, they call you, well, that's going to be... You know what I think of Moneyball? Brad Pitt on the phone during the movie. Brad Pitt on the phone, and all of a sudden he just hangs up. Well, he just hung up on the guy. That's negotiation. You know what I mean? That is really private sector negotiation. And it's done quite a bit. I mean, I've done some shrewd things in business that as a public servant, if I were ever a public servant, I would never do.
Let me ask you this, though, because I saw somebody wrote it yesterday, and I was thinking about this on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't sure because we were on vacation, but the president has toned down his tweets in the last week and a half.
Yeah.
The president has almost been perfect in the communications about Kavanaugh over the last couple of days.
He's been right on. In fact, there were some things. He said a statement he made to Fox News during the day on Thursday, and I'm thinking, man, he is not – this is not off the charts at all.
No,
this is right on.
And it, the hope is, okay, trial by fire, hopefully, as soon as I say this, boom, a massive amount of tweets will come out this morning.
Right, right.
So I'm just going to shut up.
Well,
I'm just going to say I've been happy with the way that they've been communicating.
What are they probably seeing on the internals? You said it yesterday. Britt Hume also acknowledged it during the day on Thursday. After you did, we need to make that point. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Hume, for listening, by the way. but the point is that you're bringing Republicans together in something that, you know, really, and we go back to Andrew Breitbart and what he said to us in one of his final interviews just weeks before he died. It's all about SCOTUS. And the Never Trumpers know this now. Is he seeing that gelling coming together and realizing if you're on point, on message, it's going to work?
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Crowley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Eric has lowered his price to $2 million to be a political consultant. I was able to do some negotiating with him during the break. I am representing him, and so I will collect 10% of that.
I am going to, right now, here and now, I'm going to change that offer. I will do it for free.
I'm no longer representing you.
Oh, that went south quickly.
You've just lost representation. By the way, you do the consulting. I'll make the deal.
This is, I think, the scenario that, as we kind of spelled it out. And thank you to the last caller. That's a very nice tongue-in-cheek compliment. We greatly appreciate it, but the president is surrounded by great people, and I think he is on the right track and has, in terms of his effort, he's done things that, as we have said, that I didn't think he was going to be able to get done,
yeah.
And I don't think any other president at this time would be able to get done, and certainly no other Republican was getting them done. So he gets those credits. It's really about the communication. Again, it's fixable.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley. In the news today,
Brett Kavanaugh is one of the finest human beings you will ever have the privilege of knowing or meeting. A great intellect, a great gentleman, an impeccable reputation, went to Yale, top student, went to Yale Law School, top student. So we got to let it play out.
Oh, let it play out. As, think about it now, we're just after 4 a.m. Central Time here on this Friday.
Yep.
Which is 5 o'clock, so it's less than 5 hours.
That's right.
Where the deadline's going to be set. Now, what we know is Grassley talked to the lawyers yesterday, Ford's lawyers, yesterday, and the lawyers told them that, well, it looks like we could, she's willing, Christine Ford, is willing to testify by next Thursday, but Kavanaugh has to testify first. Well, that's ridiculous. Yeah. That is a non-starter to begin with. Why? She's making the accusations. You don't put the defense on before you put the prosecution on.
Right.
The prosecution always goes first. Kavanaugh goes first to defend himself from what? What's the testimony under oath that he is responding to while he is under oath?
He can't. That's why he can't do it first. He can't respond to nothing, something that hasn't happened officially. He has to respond. And that, by the way, there's a reason that it's set up in every process this way. Whoever brings the charge goes first. And then you give somebody the time, the opportunity to respond. That's how it goes. You don't have the defense get up there first in a court of law and go, hey, we didn't do it. Well, do what? No, the prosecutors get up and tell you, these are the charges. This is what we believe this person or these persons did. And in this case, in this process, there's a reason that she goes first. And it reeks of, again, the tactics by the left to delay, and ask for something you know you're not going to get.
Right. I mean, it shows that they're not actually serious. And Senator Gillibrand of New York yesterday saying that she's being silenced. She's not being silenced. The only person, the only group of people getting in the way of her speaking, which we were told initially she didn't want to do, but if you want to look at it, the only people that are keeping her from speaking right now are her own lawyers.
Yeah. Yep.
And as we started the show off with, if you look at the Republican side, the Republicans are looking at this and saying, look, we have a process here for a Supreme Court justice. All right. You have an allegation. You have no evidence. We need evidence. Mm-hmm. You'll have a time to promote it here. We'll see if there's any more to it under oath. We'll give you the courtesy of doing it. But as we know right now, there is no evidence except your allegation. That doesn't stop the process. There has to be evidence. Everything is based on evidence. That's been the Republican argument so far. The Democrat argument has been white men stink.
Yeah, right.
That's it.
That's it.
I wish I was exaggerating. No, I'm not.
That's it.
Of course, he's
guilty because he's a white guy. He's a white male.
Well, the white men of the Judiciary Committee, they're white men. And so it all stinks. And so she's either 100% believable or white men stink.
Mm-hmm.
And men should shut up.
Yeah.
That's what you're getting from the Democrats. And you wonder how this, as we look at the midterms, when you look at the, and we know what it's about for the Democrats. We understand. We understand the fact that they don't want somebody who may be a constructionist, originalist Supreme Court justice in there. And for those of you that don't understand what that means, if you haven't, followed, that type of language in a Supreme Court justice, that simply means that you don't put your own opinion into the judgments that you make. You look at it and you say, does the law say this? Or does the law not say this? And you make your judgments accordingly. You don't put your own personal opinion in. I've always objected when they say, well, he's a conservative justice. No. He's an originalist or a constructionist. You have, and Democrats will admit it, Democrats want Supreme Court justices that will put in, and they want judges that will give their opinion.
Yep.
Well, no, that law, I don't like it, and we believe it's unfair, so I'm going to change the law to this. You don't get to do that as a judge. That is not your constitutional role.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they object to, because they believe, well, let's be honest, they believe that they cannot convince the majority of the people that their way is right. Therefore, they need the courts to do it. When you can't convince the people, then what you try to do is you attempt to take over the judiciary with people that will promote their politics in their robes. And that's what we don't want. If there needs to be a change in the Constitution, it's made by the people of the United States.
Yeah.
Through the constitutional amendment process. It's a living, breathing document. Okay. We'll have that debate, whether it's living and breathing, because it actually isn't alive. It's law. But if you wish to have that argument, let's have that debate. We'll use that euphemism of a living, breathing document.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll give you that. All right. Will you believe that a judge should make it a living, breathing document? We believe that the constitutional amendment process is what should make it a living, breathing document.
Right.
Even though it's really not alive. You don't have to feed it.
It's not like a child or a puppy.
No. Well, I mean, again, they always...
I mean, sometimes it's cute.
But that's the same thing that corporations aren't people. Well, no, but the people in corporations are people, and those people in corporations have free speech rights. You're right.
What about the corporation that made Soylent green?
Well, I mean, that was the time that said... remember when that argument came up when we said, good, then you can't protest your property taxes.
Right.
Because property isn't people.
That's right.
So you can't... Well, yeah, but I own the property. Doesn't matter. That's not the point. Property isn't people.
The county tax assessor comes to the door. You owe your taxes. No, I don't.
No, I don't.
Speak to the house. What is wrong with you? Turn around to your house. What is wrong with you? Why didn't you pay your taxes?
That was the dumbest argument of all time.
I'm going to do that once in my life. I'm going to have to. So when I go down to challenge it, I'm going to say, listen, I need you to come here to the house. Why? Well, you need to talk to the house. Ask the house why the house didn't pay its taxes. It's property tax. It's not Eric tax. Are you the owner? No, apparently not.
Property isn't people.
Ridiculous.
Of course it is. So I mean, that's what we're dealing with right now. And I just wonder how people were. We saw how people responded to it in 2016, in particular districts. Now, as, you know, Trump has been in office for almost a couple of years. Actually, what he does most days is now becoming the norm. That's what happens in politics. It becomes the norm. The only, if you think about it, one of the reasons that nobody can identify, the majority of people can't identify, you know, who the Supreme Court justice is. Most people have no idea the specifics of all the major issues out there. They may have a general, you know, idea of, okay, everybody I know hates Trump, so I have to hate Trump. But they really don't even know why they hate Trump. We've seen some of the television personalities go out there with things that Obama said and said, Trump said this. I go, it's terrible. And then they go out with some of the things that Trump said, and they said, Obama said this. And it's like, oh, that's wonderful. And that's just fantastic. It's Trump's personality that they hate. It's the words that he hates. It's that they hate. It's the tone that he hates. But as we've said, he's a quite moderate when you look at the presidents over the last 100 years. The things that he has actually done and promoted are totally in the norm of American politics.
Yep.
And, you know, and so I just wonder after 2 years, it's going to be interesting to see how the country responds to it. Because the Democrats really don't have a message yet. After 2 years, they're not looking and saying, what are the problems of the heartland?
No, it's free stuff. That's it. I mean, that's what they're promoting. Now, there was nowhere else to go for them, frankly.
No, there wasn't. No.
You know, with the promise of, and I think they'll probably look back, you know, and may already be doing this behind closed doors, but eventually out in the open, the Democrats of the future will look back, and this might be, in fact, talked about openly in 2020, and say, listen, while we love President Obama and believe he was on the right track, he didn't go far enough. You know, that's what they'll criticize him for, not, well, you know, promoting single payer to begin with, or Medicare for all, whatever you want to call it. They will say that he didn't promote, you know, taxing the rich even greater, or he didn't do enough in his first 2 years while he had the Democrats on his side. He didn't get the things done that he should have gotten done, especially in those first two years. And they'll promote him on the things that he didn't give away.
I wonder, this would be an interesting take to see how, you know how they have the meters when a debate's going on and the people have the meters about what they think?
Yeah.
I would love to see people who identify as Democrat liberals watching, for example, on CNN the other day when Anderson Cooper, no, was it Jake Tapper or Anderson Cooper?
I think it was Tapper given the walk to Ocasio-Cortez.
Was Tapper or Ocasio-Cortez. And how do you pay for this? And she just wouldn't answer the question.
Yeah, right. It was Tapper, yeah.
Now, I wonder, are liberals angry at Anderson Cooper? Excuse me, Anderson Cooper. At Jake Tapper for asking that question? Or do they actually believe that Ocasio-Cortez is completely unqualified and knows nothing about economics? Are they mad at Jake Tapper? Or didn't Chris Cuomo do the same thing? Didn't he ask some of the same questions? How do you pay for it? Going back a few weeks also to Ocasio-Cortez?
It was Gillum. Wasn't it Gillum that he was talking to? It was Gillum from Florida.
Okay, all right.
From Florida.
Okay, and asking this. And,
yes.
And couldn't answer the question.
And he couldn't answer the question.
And so at that point.
Or eventually he basically came out and said, we're going to tax corporations.
Right.
We're going to tax the rich.
Right.
I mean, toward the end of it, you know, because he walked around it until at the very end he was pushed by Cuomo.
But you have, and I'm sure that probably a Chris Matthews would be in the same kind of thing, being the old time Democrat saying, look, you can't give everything away for free.
Right.
We understand we got to portray that we're giving some stuff away. But now the young Democrats are talking about $40 trillion. They're talking about doubling the budget.
Yeah.
Every year.
Okay. All right.
Doubling the budget what we spend.
I'll add another question to our list of questions here, and that is, after the banks were bailed out, we noticed something, a tone had changed, even with some on the right, and it was where they were essentially saying, well, look, if we're going to bail out the banks, then you know, the people should get more. I need to get mine, right, to a certain extent.
Yes.
But if you look at that, are millennials or other Democrats looking at it going, well, there's no way we can give everything to everyone, and if I'm not going to get mine, they're not going to get theirs. If I'm not going to get everything for free, then they're not going to get everything for free. And in their mind, that's how they justify saying, well, we can't give everything away. Because it's almost like a reverse psychology. You know what I'm saying? I know we're splitting hairs inside of a rabbit hole here.
We're trying to figure out how liberals think.
Right. It's a futile effort. We don't even know why we're doing it.
Hey, it's Friday. We can waste our time if we want.
It's about the sentiment and what they're trying, I guess, to promote, or what they want out of a candidate to promote. And that's what it is. Really, that's the question. What will they tune into to the point of supporting? Cynthia Nixon did not win in New York for a reason. Number one, Cuomo, is a brand, basically, in New York.
She tried to rage against the machine, and it didn't work.
And so, you know, you can talk about New York 14, but that's really not the future of the party. And why is it? It's the loudest part of the party, but it's not the future. So the question is, will it drive anything in, well, November of 2018 or November of 2020 on a big level for the Democrats, or is it just a fraction of them?
866-90-RED-EYE.
One of the first things President Trump did when taking office was pull out of the 12-nation Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP. Then last April, the president opened a little crack in the door to rejoin TPP, telling reporters,
I don't want to go back into TPP. But if they offered us a deal that I can't refuse on behalf of the United States, I would do it.
Fast forward now to the present. The U.S. is in a trade battle of tariffs with China, a nation not in the TPP, a nation that's been the number one foreign customer for U.S. farm goods.
We probably made a mistake as American producers have become so dependent on the China market. It was easy, big, and we probably became more dependent on them than they became on us.
Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue telling reporters during his trip to Maine this week that if China does not relent and negotiate with the U.S.,
I'm going to suggest to the president that we regain our partners in the TPP. And put a united front against China.
He did not put a timeline on when he might do that. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
He is Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. Big sporting news last night.
The best part about it was that we were here at home. You got to feel the energy of the crowd, how badly they wanted it as well. You know, we got to play for each other, but at the same time, this city does deserve it. But we got to have that mindset of going to get it no matter what's happening. And so it felt great.
Now, you're saying, I don't know, what are you talking about? There wasn't a big sporting event last night. I mean, Cleveland Browns won a football game. That's Baker Mayfield, who went in for Tyrod Taylor, who got injured.
Mm.
He brought him back to victory against the Jets. They were down 14 to nothing. So happy for all of my buddies from Cleveland that I believe are still up now and posting on social media.
Well, there's hope. There's hope again.
There's hope in Cleveland.
There's hope.
The now dog they, pound is barking.
Right. Yeah. You know, was there hope when they, you know, with the tied game? But and now
the tie game.
Right. Yeah. It's like, but now you have a win.
Yeah. So
how's it feel?
Big sporting news last night. they may win one game this year.
Yeah. Well, we know it's at least one.
Yeah.
For OmniTrax, here's your forecast.
Flooding in the Carolinas is not expected to crest for some rivers until Monday or Tuesday of next week. And that, of course, means more road closures in the area. Portions of I-95 were closed for a time. So even the major interstates being affected in the region, as well as the state highways and local roads. In the early morning hours, a frontal boundary will extend from the upper Great Lakes down to southern Texas. Now that rain will be sweeping toward the east. We'll see the greatest amount of rainfalls around an area of low pressure in the upper Midwest and Great Lakes region. So look for showers today north of I-90 in North and South Dakota and in Minnesota and Wisconsin, extending down I-35 for a good part of the day through Des Moines, Topeka, and Oklahoma City. Later this afternoon, we could see heavy amounts of rain for eastern Texas and southern Louisiana along I-10. Those showers make their way to the East Coast by Saturday and Sunday. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Bona Show.
And it's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning on the Bona Show this Friday. And a Bona Show simply means we do so many long hours of talk radio that we do more than anybody else does. So it's a bonus, I guess.
We're basically crying about it.
My favorite story of the day.
Mm-hmm.
The Government Accountability Office, the GAO, has separated an auditor and socialist activist from his work at the agency while the officials investigate serious issues raised by an undercover video by Project Veritas.
Okay.
The agents from the conservative activist group filmed the GAO auditor, Natarajan Subramanian, talking about his affiliation with the Democratic Socialist of America and admitting that he uses federal time to do DSA-related tasks. "I break rules every day," he said. "At any point, I can get fired for the stuff I do with DSA." Yeah.
They're not a bright bunch, are they?
I like this quote. "I'm like, it's a community organization. We do this, we do that. I wasn't like it's a socialist organization and we want to, you know, destroy capitalists." I'm sorry. But he does a ton of his work to destroy America from his job as auditor for the GAO. The inspector general said, "We are aware of the video and investigating the serious issues it raises. We have also communicated with the GAO inspector general." The GAO Office of Public Affairs Managing Director Chuck Young told the Daily Caller in a statement, "The employee has been removed from any ongoing GAO work and cut off access to GAO equipment."
Yeah.
You just wonder what.
Well, first of all, says it out loud,
yes,
and then
what kind of world are they living in?
It's not that he just kind of quietly said, "Well, I work with a couple of socially active groups to improve conditions as we see them," or he didn't like beat around the bush. It's like, "Man, I'm a total socialist. And I would totally get fired if they knew what I was doing. I break rules every day." It's like he was trying to get fired. We know, Brian, you're also trying to get fired.
All right, now here's a question I have to ask a friend of mine.
Uh-huh. What?
You saw the story about Canadian pot companies that are on American stock exchanges.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot about it. Was it yesterday or the day before? An old friend of mine sent me a text message with the graph and everything else.
Yeah.
And he just said, "I just made $5,000 and I'm out." And I just thought about it now when I saw the story that the Drudge has it and everything else about the stock has skyrocketed. I don't know how much it is, but and I have not communicated with the friend that I know, but I was started thinking to myself, are you breaking the law in any way?
By what? By trading a stock? No.
I mean, I guess if you can trade the stock, it's official at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that would be, you know,
that wouldn't be listed if it were illegal.
Right.
So,
so that's why I figured it was, but I started thinking about, okay, so, okay, you actually didn't, you're not taking money directly that was used from selling the pot.
Right.
Because you and I asked the, we asked those questions that if you, if a company gets involved in selling pot in Canada, now that it's legalized, and an American company gets involved in it, they can't bring that money across the border, can they?
From the direct sales of the marijuana?
From the direct sales of the marijuana. I mean, you could
carry the money into the country. You couldn't transfer it electronically by any entity that would be governed and or insured by the federal government.
You wouldn't be breaking federal law by bringing money that was, well, how would they know?
Yeah, right. Money is money.
I guess my point would be was that it would that be technically against the law, even if you wouldn't get caught?
No, I don't think so. I don't know that they're driving around with truckloads of cash from Canada into the U.S. I don't know what the banking laws are in Canada, but I'm assuming they've already accounted for banking there.
It would be interesting to find out from my old friend that, you know, how long did you have the money in for? What did you put in? But he just said it was a simple message. 5,000, you know, or he said 5,000 bucks made, I'm out. That was the only message I got the other day. I was like, on what? And all of a sudden he showed me a graph, and I didn't look at the whole thing. I just saw that it was a marijuana company.
Well, they're a pharmaceutical company. Tilray.
Yes.
Is the one. I don't know if that's the one he he invested in. But Tilray is the company that is the referring to the Drudge story, the one that
was
Drudge
it.
Linked.
That was it. Yep.
Yeah, Tilray.
I'm looking at it right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're a pharmaceutical company, so they get their.
He made it overnight.
Mm-hmm.
5,000 bucks overnight.
Yeah, it was a huge surge in the stock. Yeah. According to their website, Tilray is a global leader in medical cannabis research, cultivation, processing, and distribution. We aspire to lead, legitimize, and define the future of our industry by building the world's most trusted cannabis company. A quote by the CEO, Juan El Chapo, says, no, I'm just joking. It's a legitimate company. They do research, and, you know, it's all cannabis related. A proud pioneer, we are the first GMP certified medical cannabis producer to supply cannabis flower and extract products to tens of thousands of patients, physicians, pharmacies, hospitals, governments, and researchers on 5 continents. That's a big deal because it's not all of those extracts that come from cannabis contain THC. Some extracts are legal here in the United States in states that don't have legal marijuana.
Right.
So there is.
And there was the one prescription that they allowed here in the United States just in the last month and a half, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And so there is it's a different, you know, basically a different product because of the extract and what the extract does or in this case does not contain.
And the story that apparently now has a conclusion that the conspiracy theorists were going crazy about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The solar observatory in New Mexico that was mysteriously closed for 10 days, prompting speculation that there might have been some sort of threat, even extraterrestrial.
Uh-huh.
But evidence reveals that a janitor allegedly downloaded child pornography.
Wow.
court documents show that the site was shut down after a July FBI investigation traced a number of IP addresses related to child porn to the observatory.
Mm.
The Washington Post reported Thursday the site's chief observer also told authorities on August 21st that he found a laptop with not good, quote, not good contents in a number of vacant offices.
Hmm.
The discovery comes after the Association of Universities for Research in Astronomy abruptly closed New Mexico Sunspot Solar Observatory on September 6th without a public explanation. Well, that would make sense, would it not?
Yeah.
Because at that point, you're trying to get to the bottom of if you've got a laptop or more laptops in various rooms with child pornography, at that point, you're shutting it down.
Well, and, you have to investigate as to whether or not they were, there was other activity, I guess, related to that. Maybe there's a further investigation as to the person or persons responsible for that that would go into other activities outside of that. Is this person part of a human trafficking ring or, or are they a witness or somebody who could point us in that direction where we could actually, help some children that may be in danger? So this could be that would make sense. You would shut that down and do everything you could, I guess, in that case. Abandoned offices? That's interesting, though.
Vacant offices.
Vacant
offices, yeah. Right.
Well, yeah, you're probably not going to populate those offices 365. So, okay. Yeah.
Wow. I cannot explain the Black Hawk helicopter sighting.
Right.
I don't know because I just wanted to get a heads up on the conspiracy theorists who would, send me, yeah, but what about the Black Hawk helicopter? I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay, that was aliens.
No, there was the officials are saying no. We definitely had some aliens here, but that's not why we shut it down. We'll just get the rumors started.
And I love it was the lead story. I don't know if it still was on Drudge. I just thought it was interesting. The former Google CEO who predicts the internet will be split in two by 2028, with one part will be led by China.
Yeah. Okay.
Whatever. So there'll be the free and the non-free internet?
Yeah, in other words,
freedom, not that you would
right,
have to
not pay.
Right.
Yeah, right. Well, there would be the propaganda and then the other one that doesn't have propaganda, from China.
Oh, man.
But it's split in two. Oh, okay, fine. Led by the U.S. No, it's led by Russia. Don't they know? Haven't they learned anything in the last year and a half? Yeah. Okay, fine. It won't be split in two. It'll be split in a number of ways. If the idea is that China is going to be one of the leads taking over the internet, there will be other nations.
I guess it is. Well, anything's possible electronically, but the internet is so wired into everything that
what we have to remind people is what the WWW stands for, as in the first word.
World Wide Web.
Yeah, I mean, there are influences. If China becoming a tech leader is the point, well, there's no doubt they're going to make that effort. But you have to serve a market. You have to serve a marketplace.
And you would wish to be involved with the infrastructure that allows you the biggest audience.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the benefit in splitting it in two?
Mm.
Or setting up a separate internet, if that's even possible?
Our producer Brian is saying China would be family friendly. Because of all the censoring for that point, so would Russia.
We don't censor it. We're just family friendly.
Right. It's family. That's what you call it.
It's not
family
political.
Friendly. Right, exactly.
Not political at all.
No, it's look, will nations try and get greater control over that not just the influence, But that tech industry.
The Hallmark, yeah, the Hallmark Internet.
Yeah, right. The Hallmark Internet. Hallmark.com. No, it's... I'm
going to have to get further explanations on that one.
And they... Exactly. Well, because it's trying to predict where the Internet will go, that means you're trying to predict what the demand for information will be. I think that's a real tough prediction. And he put a number to it, 2028. I don't know why, by 2028. I mean, 10, that's a 10-year span.
When are we supposed to... When
I don't know why 10 years.
When are cars supposed to be banned? Remember that guy came out, the auto guy?
I think in December.
Was that 2030?
No, they moved it up to December of this
year. Where there will be no cars
right.
in the United States,
yeah.
except autonomous.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not going to happen.
Nope.
866-90-RED-EYE.
What's the difference between standard number 2 diesel and premium fuel? Ron Jessen is director of product management for Cenex, the makers of Cenex Roadmaster XL premium diesel fuel, and he fills us in.
You may want to consider the total operational cost behind the price of the pump. If you look at the cost for replacement and you look at the cost of ongoing maintenance, unfortunately, those costs haven't gone down. They've actually continued to increase. But switching to a premium diesel fuel can really result in some large operational savings with the fuel economy and reducing the equipment repair costs. Our fleet owners, if you want to consider trying a premium diesel fuel in the past, or if you have considered it in the past, now is really the time to take advantage of that with the lower diesel fuel prices to try out that premium diesel fuel.
There are more than 1,450 Cenex locations in 19 states across the Midwest and Pacific Northwest. Visit Cenex.com to find a Cenex location and learn more. This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric. I'm Gary. Well, TMZ Sports reporting New England is interested in Colin Kaepernick.
For what position?
A kneeling patriot?
Right.
I don't know.
Official kneeler for the team?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.